This week on the Electronic Intifada podcast, Palestinian prisoner Samer Issawi vows to continue his hunger strike following a Jerusalem court sentence on Thursday. The Electronic Intifada breaks a story that causes shock around the world. Israeli soldiers post disturbing and violent images on Instagram, including a photo of a child in the crosshairs of one soldier's rifle. We'll speak with Ali Abunima about the photographs in the context of Israel's violent settler colonial occupation.
It struck a chord with people because it really, I think, embodies the view of the Israeli army, of the Israeli occupation, that life is cheap, particularly the lives of Palestinian children.
Also, Israeli settlers construct a new illegal outpost on Palestinian village land to block a court-ordered rerouting of Israel's wall, and news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, including a report on a Palestine solidarity activist at a Valentine's Day boycott action in Boston who was punched in the face. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, associate editor for the Electronic Intifada in Berkeley. We begin in occupied Jerusalem. The Electronic Intifada reported on Thursday that Palestinian political prisoner Samer Issawi, who has been on full and partial hunger strike since his arrest at a Jerusalem checkpoint in July 2012, quote, was sentenced to 8 months on Thursday by a Jerusalem magistrate court. His sentence begins at the date of his arrest, meaning that he has 1 month of this sentence left to serve. Our report added, quote, Shireen Issawi, Samer's sister, and the Palestinian human rights group Ad-Damir confirmed on Thursday that Issawi vows to continue with his hunger strike, which has caused his weight to dramatically drop and urgent warnings regarding his health. However, the Electronic Intifada reported, quote, Issawi faces an additional 2 decades of imprisonment as Israel claims he has violated the terms of his conditional release from prison during the October 2011 prisoner exchange, invoking a military court order based on secret evidence that would compel him to serve out the remaining 20 years of his original 30-year sentence. Israel claims that Issawi, a resident of an East Jerusalem neighborhood, entered West Bank areas in violation of the conditions of his release. Ad-Damir stated that since his arrest last July, Samer Issawi has been subjected to brutal torture and interrogation tactics by Israeli forces, including sleep deprivation and isolation. He was also denied his right to see his lawyer for several weeks as a tactic to, quote, pressure him during his interrogation and to isolate him. Meanwhile, throughout the West Bank, protests have continued against the detention and imprisonment of Palestinian political prisoners who are on hunger strike. The Electronic Intifada reported that hundreds of Palestinian political prisoners held a one-day hunger strike on Tuesday in solidarity with Samer Issawi and fellow long-term strikers Ayman Sharawna, Tarek Adan, and Jafar Azzedine. There have also been regular protests in the West Bank and Gaza. The Bethlehem-based Man news agency reported that 29 protesters were injured on Thursday by rubber-coated steel bullets and, quote, dozens more suffered tear gas inhalation at a protest in solidarity with the hunger strikers near Ofer military prison camp in the occupied West Bank. On Wednesday, Palestinian journalists held a sit-in protest outside Ofer detention camp in an action organized by the Palestinian Journalists Syndicate. The sit-in protest took place while a military court heard the cases of detained Palestinian journalists Amir Abu Arafa and political cartoonist Mohamed Sabana. Those were excerpts of a longer report published this week on the Electronic Intifada. For much more on this story, visit our Rights and Accountability blog section at electronicintifada.net. Also, be sure to read acclaimed writer Susan Abulhawa's poem for Samer Issawi in our diaries section. The Electronic Intifada broke a story this week that provoked outrage around the world. On Friday, February 15th, the Electronic Intifada's Ali Abunima posted several images from an account on the photo-sharing site Instagram belonging to an Israeli soldier, Mor Ostrovsky. Ostrovsky is a 20-year-old Israeli sniper in a sniper unit. His disturbing image shows the back of the head of a child or young man as seen in the crosshairs of a rifle. Abu Nima stated that the context, particularly the character of the buildings seen in the background of the image, strongly suggests the child could be Palestinian. Quote, there are no other images to suggest that the photographer actually fired at the person in the image in this case. The image is simply tasteless and dehumanizing. It embodies the idea that Palestinian children are targets, end quote. Recently, the Electronic Intifada's Benjamin Doherty pointed out how the Israeli army has wittingly and unwittingly used Instagram and other social media to promote itself. These images, which Doherty calls war sporno, quote, uses male and female bodies to eroticize the military, to displace violence against Palestinians, to encourage Western publics to identify with Israeli soldiers, end quote. 2 days later, on February 17th, Moore Ostrovsky's Instagram photo went viral on the internet and in global media after the Electronic Intifada exposed it. In the Israeli daily Ynet, the Israeli army's spokesperson unit said that, quote, this is a severe incident which doesn't accord with the IDF's spirit and values. The spokesperson unit added that the issue was brought to the attention of Ostrovsky's commanding officers. Then on Tuesday, the Electronic Intifada reported that another Israeli soldier, Osher Maman, had been posting dozens of photographs to his personal Instagram account as well, along with deeply racist and even genocidal views towards Palestinians and Arabs. Maman is a 20-year-old soldier with the Golani Brigade, an infamous unit known for its history of human rights abuses against Palestinians and Lebanese. The Electronic Intifada noted that Maman, who grew up in Naples, Florida after his family left Israel a decade ago, made the news in 2006 when, as a 14-year-old boy, he brought a BB gun given to him by his parents to school and used it to threaten two girls. Maman also has an adult criminal history with records of arrests in February 2011 and in May 2011 for trespassing on school grounds. In his Instagram account, which has since been deleted along with other social media accounts, Maman posted photos of him and others posing with loaded weapons, using drugs, and adding tags that reveal fantasies of violence. On Maman's Facebook page, he boasted that he joined the Israeli army to, quote, beat up terrorists. Joining us to talk about these stories is the Electronic Intifada's Ali Abu Nima, who currently joins us from Marfa, Texas. Ali, it's so good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Nora.
So first off, talk about these stories. Since the Electronic Intifada broke them starting a week ago, they've been picked up by mainstream news outlets and dozens of publications on all inhabited continents and in more than a dozen different languages. For people who are familiar with the Israeli army's behavior, you know, this kind of story doesn't come as a surprise, although the photos and racist speech are still incredibly shocking. But why do you think that these stories have been widely picked up by the global media? And what does it reveal about the culture within the Israeli army, which also said that, of course, these incidents do not accord with their values?
Well, I have to say I did expect these stories to be widely read, but even I was surprised by just what a huge impact they made and have been picked up, as you said, by media everywhere, including the Israeli media, which has reported on them quite extensively. You know, when I think about that first image that we revealed of the boy in the crosshairs of the sniper rifle, you know, I think that it struck a chord with people because it really, I think, embodies the view of the Israeli army, of the Israeli occupation, that life is cheap, particularly the lives of Palestinian children. And that when, you know, any Palestinian parent looks at that image, they know that that could really be their child in the crosshairs because, you know, even just in the first weeks of 2013, several Palestinian children have been shot dead by the Israeli army. And what is common to all of these cases is that there is never any kind of credible investigation or accountability. So I think that the image embodies this notion that Palestinian children are targets, that Palestinian life is cheap, and that Palestinian life can be taken time and again with real impunity, that the soldiers get away with it time and time again. And I think that the image also is such a stark opposite to the image that the Israeli army itself tries to portray of the, you know, the most moral army in the world, the tagline they use. And I think that's really why it did strike such a chord around the world.
Well, Ali, you know, as you said, this is not the first time that this type of brutality has even been documented by soldiers themselves, albeit in a way where the soldiers are bragging about arresting, humiliating, and threatening to kill Palestinians they're occupying. Talk about the history of this kind of behavior and what's behind it psychologically, the culture of impunity we're seeing here throughout the six decades of Israel's brutal policies in Palestine.
Yeah, I think what was new about this was the medium, the fact that it was on Instagram, which is a very trendy and attractive social media platform, and that the Israeli army itself has tried to use for positive propaganda. And, you know, this is an example of it backfiring badly on them. But in terms of, you know, what it reveals, you're right, there is nothing new about that. Of course, I mean, and here one of us who's familiar with this issue can cite report after report from human rights organizations, whether it's Amnesty or Human Rights Watch or PCHR or B'Tselem or Defense for Children International, documenting the systematic brutality against Palestinian children. Perhaps, you know, there's something that people around the world, a lot of people are not going to go and read through those thick reports, and perhaps these images have, you know, touched them or brought this reality home to them in a way that all that documentary evidence has failed to do somehow. But there are even also testimonies or stories from Israeli soldiers themselves collected by this Israeli group called Breaking the Silence, which in 2012 published a report containing really horrifying testimonies of soldiers themselves saying how, you know, when they would get bored, they would start provoking riots, they would randomly pick Palestinian children and shoot at them. These are, of course, reports that we've published and reported on the Electronic Intifada, and people can find them by searching for Breaking the Silence. But also, even that, I mean, in another country, you know, another democracy, I mean, Israel calls itself a democracy, but in a real democracy, if a group had said, look, here are these testimonies, and these are people talking about committing, you know, serious crimes, murder, war crimes, kidnapping, violence, the judicial authorities ought to open an investigation. They ought to say, hand over that evidence so we can investigate and prosecute. But nothing like that has been done in Israel. And I think, again, that's an illustration of how deep and high the impunity goes. That soldiers can talk about doing these things apparently without fear that the authorities will take any serious efforts to investigate.
And finally, Ali, can you talk a little bit about how the global media has been analyzing the report that you broke on EI and what this reveals about the way in which this culture of impunity, as you said, inside the Israeli military is regarded in the global media?
Well, I'm very glad that the stories have gotten a lot of attention and brought attention to, you know, these issues. I mean, at this point, it's not an exaggeration to say hundreds of thousands of people have read these stories just on the Electronic Intifada, and, you know, many millions more in other media outlets. I really hope it does get people to dig a little deeper, to go beyond the pictures, and not to accept the notion put out by the Israeli army that, you know, this is against our values and principles, or that these are isolated cases or rotten apples. I really hope that it encourages media to really get out of this situation where we are so used to this kind kind of brutality from Israel that it's almost not newsworthy anymore. It's just the norm. I mean, there are 200 Palestinian children currently, as we're speaking, in Israeli prisons. The experience of being, you know, pulled out of your bed at night, being put in solitary confinement, being tortured, being subjected to really cruel and inhuman conditions, is not an unusual one for Palestinian children, particularly for teenage boys living under Israeli occupation. But it's one that is almost never talked about in the media. And I hope that perhaps this can provoke at least a few people to look deeper into the issues.
Ali Abu Nima, as always, thank you so much for your work and for being with us on our podcast today.
Thank you, Nora.
And of course, to read more about these stories and see the shocking photos we've been talking about, visit Ali's blog at electronicintifada.net and read on Adri Newhoff's blog how soldiers' confessions prove that shocking Israeli Instagram photo soldiers are not just a few bad apples. The Electronic Intifada reported in our Rights and Accountability blog this week that Israeli settlers have constructed a new illegal settlement outpost on Palestinian lands in Jayus, a West Bank village that has been systematically cut off from more and more land since Israel began building its wall in 2002. The new outpost of 7 caravans was immediately connected to the water system of the nearby settlement of Zufim, which was constructed with financial aid from owner Lev Levayev, a diamond magnate and settlement builder who owns the Africa Israel Company, a real estate investment firm. The Electronic Intifada reported that settlers erected the outpost in response to a lawsuit in which the farmers of Jayus, quote, regained approximately 1,500 acres of the 2,100 acres of fertile lands that were confiscated by Israel during the construction of the wall in 2002. The report adds that Ghassan Harami, head of the Jayus Village Council, told the Wafa news agency that the caravans were set up under the protection of the Israeli army. The land in the area was raised and the caravans were connected with electricity, according to Harami. Caterpillar bulldozers were also seen uprooting olive trees belonging to Jayus villagers in preparation of a new section of Israel's wall in the West Bank. For more on this story, visit our Rights and Accountability blog on electronicintifada.net. And now we go to news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. The Electronic Intifada reported in our Activism and BDS blog that during a boycott action organized by Students for Justice in Palestine at Northeastern University in Boston, in front of the Max Brenner chocolate store on Valentine's Day, an activist was punched in the face by someone who opposed the message of the demonstration. Protesters marched to denounce Brenner's parent company, the Strauss Group, one of Israel's largest food and beverage companies, which supports the Golani and Givati brigades of the Israeli military. In an interview with the Electronic Intifada, student activist Tala Borno says that she was punched in the face by a woman who first shouted at her before striking her, and that the police officer who stood nearby refused to arrest the woman. Tala Borno was interviewed by the Electronic Intifada's Maureen Murphy earlier this week. Here's an excerpt of that interview.
When I was assaulted, the police officer was standing there blatantly looking at me. I walked up to him and I told him, "That's assault. Can you please arrest her?" And the woman was standing there and we were completely ignored. And that was the most disappointing for me. I mean, especially when it's such a controversial issue, you definitely expect people to, you know, oppose our views, but definitely not from the police. I mean, I was hit in the face in front of the police officer. He did absolutely nothing. And I explicitly asked him to do something about it and once again was overlooked. So, yeah, I mean, he was definitely not on our side and neither were the other ones. I mean, it was about 25 police officers and none of them were doing anything about it.
That was Tala Borno, a student activist at Northeastern University in Boston, interviewed by the Electronic Intifada earlier this week. For much more on this story and other current news from the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, check out our Activism and BDS blog on electronicintifada.net. And that's it for our weekly Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, cultural features and reviews, pointed opinion and analysis, and action alerts by our team of correspondents and bloggers, visit us online at electronicintifada.net. This week, be sure to check out the newest op-ed, Jim Crow in Palestine, Parallels Between U.S. and Israeli Racism, plus our blog posts and features, such as spies monitoring Palestine solidarity groups around the world, says an Israeli military correspondent, how Ireland's elite, including the band U2, abets Israel's crimes, Palestinians fleeing Syria bombed by Israel in Gaza, Gundam-style parody puts spotlight on Gaza siege, Rami Al-Megadi interviews Palestinian football star Mahmoud Sarsak. After his victorious hunger strike, Sarsak returns to a life of activism in Gaza, and much more. At electronicintifada.net, you can also post comments and sign up for our daily newsletter. Follow us on Twitter at Intifada. Radio stations are free to use this podcast, and a special thanks to Flashpoints and KPFA in Berkeley. On behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening. Thank you.